This morning's reading comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 9, our acts of service and sacrifice. Keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. This is why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can people do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be misled by the many strange teachings out there. It's a good thing for the heart to be strengthened by grace rather than by food. Food doesn't help those who live in this context. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
As you can see on the screen, we are continuing our games people play with the game of Uno. And I hadn't played it in a long time either, and then started playing it with youth. So that was a good thing to be reminded of that game. Just so you know, a little history on Uno. It was invented in 1971 by a man named Merle Robbins. And it's based on a game called Crazy Eights. Anybody ever play Crazy Eights? Yeah. Before Uno, there was Crazy Eights, and actually you can do it with a deck of cards any time. And the game was actually designed because Merle and his son could not agree on the rules for Crazy Eights. And so he decided if he created a game where the rules were pretty laid out, that it would be a better way to play it. And so he took the game of Crazy Eights, where the eight was wild and could become something else, and added a wild, draw four, and you can see them on the screen, a draw two, a reverse, a skip. And those kind of, introducing those into the game sort of changed the game just a little bit. And so it helped them to play the game without arguing about the rules. I have to share this because it's so funny, or so ironic. Our daughter Callie was in Spain for the summer, which a lot of you knew that she was. And her host family said, "We're going to play this game." They started explaining to her, and they said, "The game is called One." Yeah, you did get it. She said, "No, we call it Uno too." So, but thought that it would be good to translate for her. So, but same game in Spain, actually, exactly the same game. So, the game is played by dealing seven cards to each person, and then there's a discard pile and a draw pile, and you have to lay down cards for the same color or the same number. And if you can't play those, then you can play a draw four or a draw four wild or a wild card or a draw four wild. And so as you match, of course, the winner is the one that strategically plays the cards in the right order. The trouble is, you're kind of at the mercy of the cards that you're dealt. Sometimes you look at your cards, and if you're an Uno player, you like to have some of those draw twos and skips and wild cards, because those are kind of the game changers, kind of the things that help advance the play and help you win the game. Of course, that's the goal anyway. And so, but if you don't have a card to play, you have to draw. And there are ways to play it where you can draw one card, and if you can play it, you go on. Or I know that there's been some marathon games. In fact, some of the youth sitting in the room here, a couple of them, played such a marathon game where you drew until you could play, and then you end up with a whole pile of cards in your hands, right? Now, the thing with that is sometimes in those cards are some great strategic cards for later, but it is a little frustrating when you're holding a bunch of cards. The gifted players in Uno are the ones that know when to play the right cards, know the right timing for those draw fours and those skips, and those then become the game changers. And the game changers are the cards that help a player win the game. Or the game changers are the cards that help a person or cause a person to lose the game, right? You've been on the receiving end probably of those game changers and a little frustrated by receiving, having one card in your hand and thinking that the next round you're going to go out and then somebody gives you a draw two or a skip or some such card. With the Uno's game changers in mind, let's talk a little bit about how the cards that were dealt in life can impact us and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's, you know, that's why we're here, talk about Jesus Christ. Today's scripture comes from the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is sort of tucked in with the letters of Paul, the letters that are attributed to the Apostle Paul. And yet, this letter is somewhat different because the author is unknown. But one thing that they're pretty certain on is that this letter was written to Hebrew Christians. So those are the Jewish believers that then converted to Christianity in that early first century church. And the leaders that brought them into Jesus Christ in that early time helped them transition in their worship style. And you were talking about rules, Dusty, and do not kill is one of those Old Testament Jewish rules. And then when Jesus came along, Jesus sort of narrowed it down and said the greatest commandment is to love God, love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. And sort of summarize those Ten Commandments down into loving one another and loving God. And so the transition into that kind of not needing to always be following the rules was a bit of a challenge for those early believers. And so those early leaders helped do that with them. And yet leaders come and go, and those early leaders were no longer around. And because they were no longer around reminding the people how to worship and how to be a follower of Christ, their faith started to waver. The book of Hebrews addresses these concerns, these places where they're starting to waver in their faithfulness. In chapter 12 and then into chapter 13, and we didn't read all of 13, chose some select verses. The author is giving these early Christians a reminder about behaviors that are acceptable and behaviors that are not. So behaviors that go with love your neighbor and love God, and those that don't. And so these early Christians were missing their leaders, and it was these leaders who brought them to faith in Jesus Christ. And I imagine each of you could probably pinpoint a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader, a pastor, maybe a parent or a grandparent who brought you into faith. And when they're no longer around to help us in that walk, we definitely miss that presence. And so there's this reminder to stay faithful, even in the midst of these leaders being gone. And the scripture in verse 8 is really kind of the clincher where Jesus is unchanging. In verse 8 it says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, Jesus was with the early Christians and those early leaders. And Jesus is with the new leaders, too, because the one constant in the faith of all people who follow Jesus Christ is that Jesus' presence is unwavering, still the same as it was in the beginning. From the time Jesus walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago to today and into the future, forever, it says, so through all eternity, Jesus remains the same. Jesus remains unchanging. So think about that time when you first gave your heart and your life to Jesus. Just think on that for a minute. And if you've yet to do that, I invite you to find a mentor, could be me or somebody that can help you take that step. But if you've already taken that step and given your heart to Jesus, how did you feel when you first believed? How did you feel when you first gave your life to Jesus? Did this life in Jesus make it so you wanted to attend worship more often? That you wanted to learn more with others? That you wanted to spend time with prayer or join a Bible study or a gig? Did you find you were reading your Bible more? Did you pray more often? So that's when you first believed. Where are you today? Where are you today? Are you feeling like
you're at a place where your faith is starting to wane. You're wondering kind of what happened, got out of habit of reading scripture, got out of the habit of praying often and gathering in worship and gathering in study. My question is, what led to the waning of your faith? Because, my friends, we all go through that. We all go through cycles of our faith growing and waning and growing and waning. If you remember last week's sermon, if you were here, we talked about Jenga, and we talked about building a solid foundation on Jesus Christ. And that solid foundation helps us in these times when our faith starts to wane. Were there game changers in your life that seemed to hijack your faith? Is there something that's happened? Has it caused you to back off from worship or not make attendance in your gig quite as important? Has this waning caused you to start to doubt God's presence in your life? Because that can happen. When life gets in the way, that can happen. When tough things happen, we can feel less of God's presence. Did it feel like when hardship came, when these game changers came into your life, that Christ's presence seemed very far away? Does right now Christ seem close or far away? It's true that life can deal us a pretty rotten hand at times, right? Sometimes that hand is pretty yucky. We have health issues. We lose a loved one. We lose a job or we have a job change. All of those things are game changers. We find we're moving to a new town or we lost a friendship we held dear. Even when that happens, God calls us to find joy when we receive a good hand in life and to receive joy when we aren't receiving such a great hand in life. When we play this game called life, when we play it with joy, with whatever cards that we're given, we get the opportunity to experience God's faithfulness, no matter what. God's faithfulness and God's presence, no matter what happens in our life. God promises that in Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit to be in the midst of our daily lives, to walk every day with us, to go to work with us, to exercise with us, to lay down with us when we sleep, and not to micromanage our lives, but to be present in our lives, a constant presence, help in time of need. It's important for me to say that God doesn't promise to be an insurance policy for us. If you know about insurance, when something happens, you get, you know, there's pay or there's compensation. God isn't an insurance policy, but God is a constant presence. And when we feel like God is moving away from us, it might be that we are the ones that are moving away from God, because God's presence stays. We're the ones that move close to God and away from God. There are people in this world that believe that following Jesus Christ will make all their troubles go away. If you follow Jesus, your troubles will be gone. They believe that God stacks the deck of life in our favor. Hate to say it, but that's not the way it works, right? It's not at all the way it works. Belief in Jesus Christ, again, is not an insurance policy helping its owner avoid hard times. And yet Christ promises that those who trust, that those who believe in him will never be alone. In addition to Christ's presence, God gives us fellow believers, gives you guys to each other to journey this life of faith with us. Because Jesus will never leave or forsake us. Because Jesus is the one constant through all of the ages. Because Christ's love and grace is unwavering. Ours wavers. Our faith wavers. But Jesus does not. We can withstand the game changers that come our way. The things in life that give us trouble. No matter what cards we are dealt, we will have Christ with us through thick and thin. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we must have faith and must trust that God will meet our needs, even when the game changes. In 2004, I took a leap of faith. It was a pretty large leap of faith. I had been teaching half-time and had been working at a church doing Christian education. And I felt like God was finally saying, it's time to do this. It's time to really put your trust in me. And so I resigned my teaching position and let my license expire and took a leap of faith into at the time, just ministry and not teaching. I was trading a full-time salary. I was trading continuing IPERS for those teachers out there. I was giving up tenure as a teacher. I was giving up insurance, all for an unknown thing, all to take a leap of faith. I was pretty content in my decision, having prayed a lot about it and having tried to having God actually kind of encouraging me to do it for quite some time and finally answering. But Dale wasn't quite so content with our decision. He was a little worried, of course, about finances and how we would make ends meet. And Dale, I forgot to tell you, I was going to tell you this story, but I hope it's okay. I've told it a couple times. It was VBS week, and Dale was always a good beforehand helper in VBS, but during VBS he wasn't at VBS, and so the kids and I were there and doing the whole VBS thing, and he used that time to kind of play do his own thing. And he was fishing in Clear Lake, out in the lake, and he said he was fishing and wasn't catching, and kept saying, "God, help me catch a fish. God, help me catch a fish." You ever done that? Prayed for God to help you catch a fish, and then realized that that was maybe a little selfish. And started praying, "God, help us in this time of transition. Help us through this leap of faith." And he said, out of the blue, there was this gigantic, it wasn't this big, but you know, it's a fish story. But there was a good-sized fish on his pole. And he said in that moment, he knew that God was saying, "It's going to be okay. I'm going to care for you in this time of change." And so we did a year where I worked for the church half-time, and our finances were greatly diminished. But one of the things that we did not do is we did not reduce what we gave to our church, and we were able to pay all our bills, and our kids were cared for. We had to make a little tweaks in our budget, but God's presence was felt through all of it, and God cared for us when we took that leap of faith as a family. You see, God cares for us no matter what. God is there with us when we make changes, when life comes our way, when game changers come into the midst of our lives, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the one constant in our lives, even when we can't count on anything else. God gives us good cards, or God doesn't give us the cards. We're dealt good cards and bad cards, and God is with us no matter what comes our way. I want to ask you, do you really trust this? Do you really trust God's presence in your life? Have you given your heart to Jesus so that you can surrender to the gifts that he has for us in the presence of his life? I invite you to think about that, and maybe you need to surrender a little more. Let us pray. Holy and loving Lord, when we like to control the things that are going on in our lives, it's hard to surrender. And yet, faith in you and trust in you is the surrender that helps us win in all the games we play. We trust you and love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.